My sermon text this morning will be reading from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Remember being a kid, I always laugh at this. If we did this right in the bulletin, we would have printed not sermon, but homily. Anybody ever heard that word homily? When I was a kid, I knew that homily always meant short sermon. And so I loved when I saw homily in the bulletin. It's more what this is. But I do admit to odd timing. This is our final sermon in the Gospel of Mark. Important story, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I do admit to odd timing, though, is, you know, you would think you'd do a Thanksgiving-type message for the sermon today, and it was just one of those ones where the timing was such that it was either do a Thanksgiving message and skip the resurrection, which just seems like that's kind of like missing the point of the whole gospel if you do that, or try to do the resurrection and sort of tie it in. Then it dawned on me, I mean, shouldn't we be grateful for the resurrection? Isn't that a nice Thanksgiving piece? So I think we'll tie all these things together, and then if it confuses you all the more, next week we'll start with Jesus being born again. So it'll be like we rewind the movie and watch it all over again from the very beginning. But if you do have your Bibles with you, Mark chapter 16, I think you've got it on the screen, Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 8, just a short little message here, hopefully short, on the resurrection. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Well, for the past year, we've had a theme at Redeemer that will somewhat be wrapping up today because we'll go into Christmas stuff, Advent stuff next week. The theme is something that many of you might have in your kitchen. The theme goes something like this: God bless this mess. The simple idea that the God we serve can take messy things and bring about redemption. Whether you've broken it yourself, it's your sin, whether somebody sins against you, or whether it's just the Spirit moving, calling you out of your comfort zone and you're uncomfortable with it, we trust that when things get stirred up in God's name, He can bring some great things from it. Well, what better way to finish than by reading this passage in which probably one of the most unjust things in the world has taken place, the death of the Son of God. Though He was sinless, God brought about redemption. God made something out of the mess. I called it the victorious mess. I could have called it the final mess or the mess to end all messes or something like that. But you get the idea of what I'm going for, that God did a great thing out of this event. This morning, you know where I'm going with the sermon. As we finish the Gospel of Mark, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I will ask you a simple favor. Be thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not that hard to do. I mean, you tie all the elements of the service together. It's exactly what we're trying to do. Be thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, I'm going to unpack it just a little bit more. I'm going to ask you to do this specifically. I would like you to dwell in gratitude for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dwell in gratitude for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why not just be thankful? Well, let me see if I can explain to you why I use that fancy language, and hopefully it'll sink in what I'm getting at. Dwell in gratitude for the resurrection. First thing, I would like you to dwell in the resurrection. Here's why. Many of you who have taught children Sunday school know that when children are asked any sort of question in Sunday school, there's a propensity to answer the question by saying, "Jesus. Who killed Goliath? Jesus. Who built the ark? Jesus." There's a sense, and as Sunday school teachers, we don't have the heart to say, "No, you're wrong." We just nod our heads and say, "Yes, Jesus." Well, what some of you may not know is that many of us as adults hear about the resurrection and say, "Who was crucified for our sins? Jesus. Who gives us eternal life? Jesus. What's the answer? Jesus." We have this sense, but we never stop and dwell on it. We too quickly jump to the next thing. We too quickly jump to what we need to do next. In fact, I'll tell you a true confession. Most pastors I know hate preaching on Easter Sunday. Did you know that? Vast majority of pastors I know hate preaching on Easter Sunday. You know why? It's because there's this sense that even though the congregation is crowded, it's the busiest day of the year, it's an exciting day, everybody's dressed up, the sense is that you've already heard the story. But have you dwelled with the story? The resurrection, let it sink in. Gospel of Mark is my favorite gospel ending. You know why? At the very end of the Gospel of Mark, it says Jesus was resurrected, and then what's it say in verse 8? The women were scared to death and silent. You ever heard that as an Easter message? Christ is risen! Now shut up and keep quiet. You know, nobody's ever heard something like that. Why was it? Why did that happen? Well, I think the reason is this. The Gospel of Mark is the honest gospel ending. Not to say that the others aren't true, but I mean the sense of their honest feelings, what they had honestly been through. I think we get the sense sometimes that Jesus was resurrected and the disciples just said, okay, great, he's been resurrected on Sunday. Monday morning, let's go ahead and plan this thing out. How about on Monday morning we start worshiping on Sundays at 11 or so? Let's build a few buildings, hire a few pastors, start a few denominations. Oh, and can somebody go ahead and write the New Testament? We'll be set. It wasn't like that. They had to let this thing sink in for just a bit. They had to dwell on the resurrection. You know, all of you in this room can dwell on the resurrection. It takes one simple aspect of your life, time. Just a few moments to let it sink in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. There's bad news with that and good news with that. The bad news is that I know you are all busy as all get out. The good news is it doesn't take that long to dwell on the resurrection. This past weekend I was in Phoenix. I had the privilege to officiate at my cousin's wedding. He got married. And we were all there at the reception, and we were just having a wonderful time at the reception. I cannot keep up with my wife on the dance floor, so I took a breather and sat down for a second, and I was watching my family dance their pants off, as I guess you would describe it. I don't know how to describe it. Having a great time. And in just a 2-minute period, this is what my mindset went through as I dwelled on things. The first thing was an incredible amount of gratitude. It's the first time I'd seen all that side of the family in probably 4 or 5 years. And there's this tremendous sense of gratitude, most notably to my uncle that had paid for all the reception and paid for the DJ and paid for the wedding and paid for the beverages that made people dance their pants off and everything like that. So they had incredible grateful for that. But then I thought some more, and I realized, you know, one of the reasons I'm so grateful is this was family that knew each other well, and the reason we knew each other well is because every Christmas we had made a priority to get together no matter where we were from or where we were. And so we had this strong sense of family, and I was grateful that all my family members, whether they lived in Arizona or Seattle or whatever it might be, made this priority to get together. And then after that, I jumped in thinking of my grandmother who was there at the wedding, and I said to 87, 88 years old, incredible gratitude for her and for just surviving through the Great Depression. She grew up in a trailer, went to 12 different elementary schools before she was in fifth grade, and she just tried to survive. And could she have ever thought that she'd be sitting on this golf course at 89 years old and watching all these family members, her offspring, together? And there's a sense of gratitude. All that took place in just 2 minutes, right, while I'm sitting at the table waiting. If you just take a few minutes to think of the gratitude that you have for the resurrection, before you jump too quickly to the Sunday school answer and say, oh, I'm already a Christian, I already know that. Before you jump too quickly, oh, let's jump into some more meatier stuff. That's the basics. Before you jump into something, whatever, just dwell with it, that Christ is resurrected and the gratitude we have for that. Dwell with it. Second thing I'd ask you to do this fine morning would be to dwell in gratitude. That's important. See, some folks would ask you to dwell in guilt about the resurrection. They tell you what you're supposed to do is see the cross and feel guilty for all the things you've done and that you put Jesus Christ on the cross and to sit with that for a bit. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe there's an aspect to the guilt side of it. I do think it was our sin that nailed him to the cross. I do think there are times in your life and in my life where we need to repent of those things. I do think there's times there's guilt that moves us to repentance and to loving God. We do this on Good Friday, every Good Friday at Redeemer. There's a place for that, just not today. Today's about gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done. Today is Easter Sunday, except it's on Thanksgiving. We're mixing up our holidays. We are incredibly joyful for what God has done. And you know what? If dwelling with God takes one simple thing, time, gratefulness, gratitude takes one simple thing, specifics. What are you grateful for? Why are you grateful for it? Gratitude takes specifics. Lord, I'm so grateful for the resurrection. Wow, you are such a wonderful God. I'm so grateful, but I didn't actually say what I'm grateful for. Just be specific. I'm grateful for what? I know that the holidays are incredibly difficult times if you've lost a loved one. I'm grateful for the resurrection, that we have the gift of new life. I know that some people get discouraged when they see the world or when they see the fall and the leaves go away, and there's this sense of, well, it's barren, it's bleak, but there's a sense that spring will come again. I'm grateful for renewed creation. The Bible says in Romans 8 that the cross of Jesus Christ launched the creation over again. I know that there are people grateful for the Spirit. We heard of one member that talked about the Spirit preventing her from a car accident while she was on her Bluetooth, make sure to on her hands-free to do that. I know other people that are grateful for times they've come together, the Spirit's working. I'll share one with you. Here's what I'm grateful for in the cross. Revelation chapter 22 says something like this. It says that in heaven there will be this tree, the tree of life at the center of heaven. And said the tree of life has leaves on it. And those leaves are for the healing of the nations. And as I read the headlines and what's going on with Syria and then with Paris and everything else, and then the response in the United States, I'm incredibly grateful that part of the Lord's task on the cross was to bring healing to the nations. And that he's promised that. If you just take the time to dwell and focus on gratitude, what are you thankful for? The Gospel of Mark ends with a cliffhanger. It's these women and they see that Christ has been resurrected, but they need to ponder it. They need to think about it. They need it to sink in. Why? Because once it sinks in, once they truly grasp what he's done, they're going to live their lives completely transformed in his name. I'm asking you to do the same thing. Before you gorge into the turkey, God bless you, or before you sit in front of the TV to watch the Cowboys, or before you do whatever it is you do this holiday season, all those things are fine, will you let it sink in, the power of the resurrection? And will you let it change everything? I'm grateful for the resurrection. I hope you will take a moment to be grateful as well. Let's pray. God in heaven, it's with joyous gratitude that we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. But we're even more grateful that that Sunday morning you arose in the new life you offered each and every one of us. You have returned us to relationship with your Father. You have helped heal our sin, our guilt, and our shame. You have promised us that a purpose and life in your name. And we remain grateful for that. Father, I know this week that people will say they're grateful for all sorts of things, and we are glad for that, and we're happy for that. I pray that we'd be a people that are grateful on a regular basis, not just one holiday a year, but actually on a regular disciplined basis, say thank you for all that you've done. Father, we do pray that you would be present now in this time. I know some folks will have to leave and take off and bless them as they go on their way. Some will stay here. Would you be in the midst of this fellowship? And would you remind us that through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you have brought us together? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.